This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, as more information comes out, how much did President Obama know about the plot to get General Flynn? We'll talk about that today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
So, how much, to answer that question, did Obama know about the plot to target Michael Flynn? A lot. Michael Flynn's attorney, Sidney Powell, says that President Obama was in on the plot to, quote, frame Flynn. Quote, the whole thing was orchestrated and set up with the FBI, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, former CIA Director John Brennan, and in the Oval Office meeting that day with President Obama. When asked if she believes that Flynn was the victim of a plot that went all the way up to Obama, his attorney, Michael Flynn's attorney, said, quote, absolutely. Why are we saying this now? We mentioned it last week. Well, there's more information out and articles and research that's been done. President Obama was aware of the details of then-incoming National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's intercepted December 2016 phone calls, because they were wiretapped, with the Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Apparently surprising then-Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, according to documents released Thursday, the January 5th meeting at the White House was just 15 days before President Trump took office, included Obama, Sally Yates, Jim Comey, former Vice President Joe Biden, who's now running for president, CIA Director John Brennan, and former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, according to declassified documents cited by Fox News. Obama asked Yates and Comey to stay behind following the meeting, say he had, quote, learned information about Flynn and his discussion with Kislyak. Now, this is classic Obama. Quote, Obama specified that he did not have any additional information on the matter, but was seeking information on whether the White House should be treating Flynn any differently given the information, and should they let the transition team know. I want to go right back to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because this, again, we know that President Obama told President Trump, don't you hire Michael Flynn, and maybe that's because President Obama knew there was an FBI takedown effort targeting Michael Flynn during the transition into the next presidency of President Trump.
Pretty wild stuff, Jordan. I mean, a couple of top line takeaways I would give you. First of all, it's absolutely clear that James Comey and President Obama were running point on this investigation to the extent, Jordan, that the acting attorney general, Sally Yates, who, by the way, no friend of the president's. I mean, just talk to Andy later in the broadcast. She's got a whole list of things that she did inappropriately. But at this stage of the game, even she did not know the extent of this investigation. It was at the level of Jim Comey and President Obama. And Jordan, the other person who I think needs some discussion today is Mary McCord, who worked for Sally Yates at the time, and even she found this idea that Jim Comey and President Obama were pursuing to be so far-fetched that she didn't brief Sally Yates before that meeting in the Oval Office that you're talking about, which is why Sally Yates was so surprised. Jordan, the last takeaway I'll give you, Mary McCord, what did she do after that? She left to work with Adam Schiff and then collaborated with the intelligence community inspector general Michael Atkinson to do what, Jordan? To facilitate the whistleblower. Do you think this was concocted by the deep state? I think it's pretty conclusive that that's what happened now.
Who was Mary McCord working for before she went to go work for Adam Schiff? Say that again.
Sally Yates.
So she was working for the acting attorney general and the deputy attorney general under the Obama administration. Then she goes to work for Adam Schiff's intel committee to coordinate the whistleblower. And by the way, now in a phone call that's been released between Obama and his former staffers, he said that he was very upset about charges being dropped against Michael Flynn. Of course, he is an attorney. He named the wrong charge. He said it was perjury. The charge was making false statements to FBI agents, which now the Department of Justice determined were, regardless if they were true or false, were totally immaterial because there wasn't a legitimate investigation. We're taking your phone calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, my dad presenting before the Supreme Court tomorrow by phone. We'll have it streaming online, Facebook and Periscope. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Think President Obama was. We now know he was well informed. He was informed enough to be informing Department of Justice officials about exactly what was going on with the intercepts of Michael Flynn's phone calls and what Jim Comey was planning to do about that with the targeting of Michael Flynn. I want to hear your thoughts about it. 1-800-684-3110. What does it tell you about the... Remember, Vice President Biden was also in on this. He is now a candidate for president, so I think it's extremely relevant. I want to get your thoughts on it, 1-800-684-3110. As a reminder, tomorrow, the court begins, Supreme Court begins by phone, 10 a.m. Eastern time. My dad is the second case up, so that'll probably start around 11:15-ish, 11 a.m. Eastern time if the court's on schedule. It's usually only supposed to be about an hour per oral argument. Some have been going over that time to about an hour, hour and a half. So between 10 a.m. and 10:30 Eastern time, he will be up. He is representing the President of the United States, President Trump, in this case against the district attorney in New York on the tax returns issue. So you'll want to, again, we'll be streaming this on our Facebook page and our social media accounts. We'll have a radio broadcast as well, and my dad will be live on Facebook after the oral argument. So you'll actually be able to, I mean, that first time ever, he'll go right from doing the oral argument, which is the first time ever by phone that he'll be doing. There have been a few before this case, but this one is getting a lot of attention because it involves the presidential power and the president of the United States. And this, you'll get to hear my dad in second time. You heard him representing the president during the impeachment hearings. Now you'll hear him representing the president for the first time before the U.S. Supreme Court. And for those of you who have followed along my dad's career before the Supreme Court, while you've heard audio in the past, this will be the first time the audio will be live. You'll actually hear live audio of my dad's oral argument that we'll be sharing. So you want to check that out. We'll be sharing it. We'll be letting you know how to share it. We'll have a lot, for those of you on radio, we'll have a live radio broadcast. Then we're going to be breaking down the oral argument the next day on the broadcast and just kind of this experience, this new experience we're living in with COVID-19 and Supreme Court oral arguments by phone, where it's been a unique experience to say the least if you've listened in to any of those oral arguments. We're taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. I want to play this. This was, again, Sidney Powell. She is the attorney for Michael Flynn, who really turned this case around for Michael Flynn. It's a longer soundbite, but I want you to take a listen because I think it lays out everything, including when President Obama gets involved, how he gets involved, and what he starts doing. And we're talking about 15 days before President Trump takes the oath of office. They were still working on taking down the Trump administration from the start, 15 days before it was bye-bye to President Obama and his staff at the White House. Take a listen.
Comey had found, and McCabe had found, the transcripts of Flynn's call with Kislyak, and he briefed Clapper on it immediately. Clapper then immediately went and briefed President Obama on it. Then they have the Oval Office meeting on the 5th. Comey admits in his testimony that the FBI are the people that unmasked General Flynn, our people, whatever that means. And at the meeting on the 5th, Sally Yates was stunned because Obama mentions to her out of the blue about the call and the transcript of the call. She knew nothing about it because Comey hadn't briefed DOJ. Yes.
Yep.
So then they dispatched Comey the very next morning to brief President Trump only on the salacious aspects of the dossier on January 6th to set the news hook for BuzzFeed and CNN to run with the dossier they knew was a lie. Then Peter Strzok is watching CNN report on that and text about he and Priestap sitting there watching it and using it as a pretext to go interview some people. So the whole thing was orchestrated and set up within the FBI, Clapper, Brennan, and in the Oval Office meeting that day with President Obama.
Understand that. The whole thing was orchestrated and set up with the FBI, Clapper, so Director of National Intelligence at the time, Brennan, head of the CIA, and in the Oval Office meeting that day with President Obama, Jim Comey. Set up then. And then Peter Strzok takes from that and they go around and can we play this out for President Obama? He's very upset about this. He was had this like call with his former staff. Oh, like Adam Schiff, he believes this is the rule of law is falling apart in our country. Instead of celebrating our system of justice that can correct wrongdoings, even when the wrongdoing is done by the federal government and its prosecutors, that Americans can get justice even when they have been treated wrong by our justice system. Oh, not when it's political, and President Obama wanted this to happen, I guess we can now say. He wanted Flynn targeted and didn't want Flynn in the next administration. Take a listen to President Obama talking to his staff very candidly.
You begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk.
Our basic understanding of the rule of law is at risk. You know what Attorney General Barr said on Friday? He concluded that the FBI, quote, set up a perjury trap for Flynn while investigating him for these ties to Russia, suspected ties. Quote, they didn't warn him the way they usually be required by the Department of Justice. They bypassed the Justice Department. Then they bypassed the protocols at the White House to inform the White House counsel and so forth. And these were things that persuaded me, said Attorney General Barr, that there was not a legitimate counterintelligence investigation. Of course, this is part of the discussion that Chuck Todd has now apologized and Meet the Press has apologized for cutting out from his show on Sunday when they were analyzing Attorney General Barr's comments. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Here's the interesting part, Than. While you have people like Sally Yates saying they didn't know at the DOJ, and they probably should have, McCabe had briefed some people at the DOJ. It just didn't get to Yates. It may have not gotten to Loretta Lynch at that point. But Comey and Obama both expected her to know. It was like they were kind of surprised in the meeting, and Yates, the way she tells it, was trying to play catch-up in the meeting about what they were talking about.
Yeah, and Andrew McCarthy has done some great reporting on this, and the person that seems to be to blame for that, Jordan, is Andy McCabe, because Andy McCabe and Jim Comey were responsible for the disclosure of the transcripts of the Flynn call. Andrew McCabe briefed James Comey. He also briefed DOJ's National Security Division. He briefed a staffer named Mary McCord, who, in the order of proper procedure, would have then briefed Sally Yates. But Jordan, she found it to be so outlandish that she did not brief Sally Yates before Sally Yates went into that meeting. So Jim Comey and President Obama start talking about this as if everybody's in the know, because remember, President Obama kept Jim Comey and Sally Yates back specifically to discuss this. And Sally Yates at this point is in the dark. This was a Jim Comey, Andy McCabe, President Obama scheme from the very beginning, Jordan. And just quickly to make one comment on that soundbite you played from President Obama. He says our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk. I would agree with him on that point, because when you're a federal bureaucrat and the regular order of justice does not get your intended goal, you leave the Department of Justice to join Adam Schiff's office and then concoct a scheme from the legislative side of things. I would say that is our very understanding of rule of law being at risk.
So Howard on Facebook writes, "How the damage has been done. How can General Flynn expect to ever get his reputation back? He could sue. Once everything is finished and the charges are actually dismissed, it has to go through a court process. DOJ has requested that. He can then file a civil lawsuit against the Department of Justice and named individuals and to seek restitution that could be in the millions and millions of dollars because of what they've done to the damage to his reputation, to just the bills he's had to pay for legal representation are in the millions of dollars, to the income he's lost, to the 30 years of military service that they have sullied, to say the least. To his career that has been damaged. So that's how he can, again, first get his redress of grievances, if you'd like. And then there could be prosecutions as well. Now, those prosecutions will be by the government against specific individuals. But Michael Flynn can file the civil suit. It's a lower standard of proof. And, again, what he'd be looking for there is the economic relief. And he certainly deserves that. Let's go to the phones real quickly, take one call before we go to the next break. Ron in South Carolina on line one. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Enjoyed your show very much. What I was wondering is how on earth is the biased media going to handle this because of all that's coming out about Obama? Are they going to try and, you know, since they're mostly partial and against Trump to begin with,
right,
and all of a sudden they're golden boys now just being fingered now.
Well, what they're going to do is say that Michael Flynn should be behind bars. That's kind of their point, is that he has violated the law. Now President Obama has gotten the violation of the law that he even pled guilty to wrong. But there are media outlets, and this will play into the election. You know why? Well, however they do the debates, the presidential debates, guess who else was in that room? Vice President Biden. Now, he can play stupid, and we know that. And he can play dumb, we know that. And he can play like he can't remember, we know that. But the facts are there, the truth is there, he knew about it too. And President Trump can go directly to him about that in the debates. What did you know? When did you know it? And what did you have to do with the illegal, now, targeting of Michael Flynn? We get back, we take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all of these issues. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
We're bringing in show favorite, former U.S. attorney, and huge fan of Sally Yates, if she's ever listening. Big fan of Sally Yates. Also a Georgian, like our, like me, and like our former U.S. attorney, and now with the ACLJ, Andy Economou. Andy, a lot has come out in these last few days. We mentioned President Obama's knowledge. Now we know that President Obama was briefing people like Sally Yates and briefing top DOJ officials about how they were going about targeting Michael Flynn, because it looks like Andy McCabe and his ally, Mary McCord at the DOJ, didn't do their job and fully brief top DOJ officials. So we have President Obama now talking to the top DOJ officials about how they're going about targeting Michael Flynn. What do you think, Andy? You there? Let's check. We'll check in with Andy, the biggest fan of Sally Yates, in just a
yes,
minute.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Andy. So this idea that we have now President Obama briefing Department of Justice top leadership, people even like Sally Yates, who it now appears there was a failure. Like, Andy McCabe briefed her deputy, and her deputy never briefed her because she's in this meeting, and everybody agrees now that she has, like, no idea what they're talking about. Doesn't, by the way, say necessarily that they're so wrong. She just didn't know what they were talking about. And President Obama, of the President of the United States, with 15 days left in his administration, is briefing his DOJ officials about how they're going to target Michael Flynn in these final few days. Your thoughts, Andy? Yeah, it looks like Andy can't hear us right now, or he's on a strong delay, so we'll get back to him. Let me go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs on this. Than, I mean, I would ask you the same question. The idea that President Obama is the one informing his DOJ officials, to me, it's not like they just came to him and gave him information. See, he had already gotten it earlier. He was now telling others who were out of the loop, this is what we're doing, this is what's going on with Mike Flynn. To me, that's the smoking gun.
Yeah, and I think giving the marching orders, Jordan, I mean, I think when it comes from the commander-in-chief, I think if a scheme like this came up to him, unrecruited by him, unsolicited by him, although I don't buy that, Jordan, remember the text message we had that the White House wanted to be kept in the loop, but had he not known if this scheme had risen to that level, it would have been his duty, Jordan, to shut it down. But not only did he not shut it down, he actually pushed people out of the room that he did not expect to know about it. He kept people in the room who he expected to know about it, and then had a conversation about it with him. And Jordan, I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, Sally Yates was supposed to know about it because it was supposed to come through Andy McCabe, but Andy McCabe trusted a lower level staffer named Mary McCord to brief the acting attorney general. That lower level staffer, who, by the way, has a lot of animus for the president. She later went to work with Adam Schiff on the impeachment trial. She thought it was so outlandish, Jordan, that she didn't pass it up. She did not think it would be a topic of this meeting because she found it so far out of the norm. So just to circle back to answer your question, what it tells me, Jordan, it tells me exactly why all of these people are not speaking out. President Obama breaking the norm about speaking about a successor, Mary McCord writing an op-ed, Jim Comey writing a book. He's been talking, you know, for as long as possible. Sally Yates talking. What are they doing, Jordan? They're trying to cover their tracks because they were all in the room when this went down.
Yeah, remember, this is not about investigating criminal wrongdoing about Andy McCabe lying to the or not being truthful to the inspector general staff at the FBI and why he got fired there. This is a whole new line of potential criminal investigation. John Durham staffing up, as Attorney General Barr has said. Take a listen to this, and I want to get Andy's response to it. This is President Obama. He was talking to his former staff in a conference call. This isn't that unusual. A former presidential candidate I worked for held a call like this, I think last week, and I wasn't able to join it, but held a call like this last week with former staff. That one was actually focusing on healthcare and education in the COVID-19 world. President Obama's was focusing on Michael Flynn. Take a listen, Byte 32.
The news over the last 24 hours, I think, has been somewhat downplayed about the Justice Department dropping charges against Michael Flynn. and the fact that there is no precedent that anybody can find for someone who's been charged with perjury. Just getting off scot-free.
Now, here's the thing. One, Andy, Michael Flynn wasn't charged with perjury. I'll get your thoughts on that right away.
That's right. He was charged with making a statement to an FBI agent, which is not the same as perjury.
So second, this whole idea that there's not precedent that the government has ever been wrong about criminal charges. Andy, you've gone through it. There's an entire part of the criminal code about when the government is wrong about the criminal charges they bring. I mean, sometimes they're wrong about murder. Convictions even are murder convictions that many decades later get overturned because of things like DNA evidence that we didn't have when those trials were conducted. I mean, so this idea that law enforcement is never wrong is inaccurate by President Obama, to say the least. And of course, the charge he brought up was wrong too. Andy? You know, I think we're going to have to fix Andy's line, maybe the second half hour. I think that's what was key here, is that this idea that it's so outside the lines. I want to go to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line two. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Welcome. Nice team. That last soundbite reminded me of the last meeting. I thought it was January 20th when he tells his whole crew, well, we did everything by the book, and one of them goes back and writes herself an email to document what was said. It just seems like the last soundbite was telling his ex-minions, hey, start pumping the fans with the media. We got to get this thing resurrected. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think exactly right, that the media is not covering this enough. So go out there and start talking about it. Go out there and start writing op-eds about how this is justice falling. Have Adam Schiff say, "This we've returned 50 years. We're like at the beginning of our nation, Than, in our justice process." To me, I think it shows the great evolution of our justice process, that those who have been pressured to plead guilty even to some lesser charges and bogus charges, can justice can be done correctly. And that's an evolution, not devolution. This is an evolution of our justice system. Just like having a murder conviction, and certainly that's not what Mike Flynn was charged with, but murder convictions decades later be overturned because of science and technology.
I agree with you, Jordan, and people have to be held accountable if that's going to continue to remain true. But look, I would tell you, writing an email to yourself that we played it by the book is not the same as actually playing it by the book, and it doesn't change those facts. And Jordan, what it reminds me of is those handwritten notes from Bill Priestap that were released to us a couple of weeks back, where there was a discussion about whether or not they were pursuing the truth or protecting their institution. Jordan, protecting their institution should have never been on their priority list. Pursuing the truth is the only thing they're tasked with.
So if you're wondering, say, hey, where's Jay Sekulow? He is preparing for his oral argument at the Supreme Court tomorrow. It's oral argument by phone. And folks, he will be joining you on Facebook right after that oral argument. We're going to have it streamed for you on our social media. It should start around between 10 and 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. And it's live. You will hear the live stream of the oral argument. He'll be representing President Trump. First, it was before the impeachment trial in the Senate, now before the U.S. Supreme Court. So you'll want to check that out as well. And then he'll be doing a special Facebook Live right after the oral argument is finished. So you'll check that out too. We'll be right back, second half hour.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, folks, I want to remind you right now, if you're just joining us, second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, my dad is not here today because he's preparing the day before for his oral argument at the Supreme Court. Now, usually we'd be all up in Washington, D.C. preparing for that, but because of the coronavirus, he will be doing that by phone. Now, here's what's cool about that for all of you. Usually, even in cases this high profile, and again, the court will begin at 10 a.m. Eastern time. My dad will probably start around 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. So again, we'll have a special radio broadcast. But I encourage you, even if you're listening by radio, if you want to hear this live, that's unique. There have been many times you've been able to hear oral arguments from my dad where audio is ultimately released, sometimes at the end of the week, sometimes later in the day, like with the campaign finance reform cases. Never before has it been real time. Never before. And never before has he been representing the president of the United States, in this case, President Trump. So he's done it now in front of the impeachment trial at the Senate. But you'll be able to, again, you'll hear from all nine justices. You will hear from my dad, from the district attorney in New York, their argument as well about involves the tax returns. And this is the highly, probably the most watched case of this Supreme Court term. And everybody will be able to listen in real time and then comment in real time. So what my dad will be doing is probably after the oral argument's done, at the latest, that would be around 1 p.m. Eastern time. Some of them have been running about an hour and a half. So if the first one runs about that and the second one runs about that, think about 1 p.m. Eastern time getting back on Facebook, and he'll join you on Facebook Live to actually break down the oral argument for you that you just heard. I mean, so it's unprecedented. It's unprecedented that he's not in the court. It's unprecedented that he's doing it by phone. It's unprecedented that you can hear the audio live. So a lot of unprecedented things there. And then for him to be able, because he's not going to be walking down the steps of the Supreme Court to talk to the media, he's going to be sitting joining you on Facebook to talk to you, the most important folks that support the work of the organization and that have followed his career legally as well. So I want you to check that out tomorrow. We'll have lots of reminders up on social media as well. And Than, I want to go to you on that, actually, before I start getting back into this Obama. We're going to bring in Harry Hutchinson as well. But I do want you to understand, Than, it's a pretty unique day for people who have been following my dad's career and the cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, because we've heard some of them live already. It's bizarre to hear, even for those of us who have heard many of the live cases inside the U.S. Supreme Court, to be able to do that from home, if you're still working from home, or on your computer if you're at work. And remember, his will start, and I'm going off Eastern time here, sometime between 11 a.m. and probably no later than 11:30 a.m. and is when you will start to hear him. And the case will be announced, and it is President Trump and versus Vance. So you will be able, again, to hear this live. C-SPAN, also, if you aren't doing it through social media, C-SPAN is covering the arguments from beginning to end, so you don't have to worry about commercial breaks and things like that. But then it's unprecedented. We'll get back to our main topic when we come back from the break, but this is an unprecedented opportunity for people to see our chief counsel in action.
Yeah, Jordan, typically it takes a lot of effort and logistical arrangements, let's put it that way, to be in the courtroom live. I think back, Jordan, about 20 years ago now, when I was a low-level staffer on Capitol Hill, and I made arrangements to see your dad argue a case at the Supreme Court in the courtroom. One of my best memories in Washington, D.C. to this point. But yeah, tomorrow to be able to hear it live without having to take those logistical arrangements, people look all across the country, Jordan, frankly, that's one they've definitely got to tune into. But I would say, as long as this is happening, they should be looking at the cases that are coming along and tuning in. I don't think it's going to last forever. I know Andy really likes it, but this is pretty unusual for the Supreme Court, so I hope everybody will tune in.
Yeah, check it out tomorrow. So we will have it streaming on our Facebook pages for you. It's also on C-SPAN. My dad, again, will be around 11 a.m., 11:30, sometime between there. But the cases on President Trump start at 10. His case is the second case, starts around between 11 and 11:30. That's because the court, usually you could say right at 11 it's going to start, but the court has not been on its normal exactly 1 hour schedule. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so let's get right back into it. How much did the president know, President Obama know about Mike Flynn? Well, a lot. I mean, so get this. President Obama was aware of the details of then incoming National Security Advisor Mike Flynn's intercepted December 2016 phone calls. That's during the presidential transition when he was transitioning to become the National Security Advisor. And he had calls with the Russian ambassador, Sergei Kislyak. Well, Kislyak was being monitored by the FBI. That's probably not that unusual with the Russian ambassador. But now we know that the FBI unmasked Michael Flynn. Now we know that President Obama was aware of these details, and that surprised even the then Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, because her deputy didn't inform her that this was going on. So on January 15th, 15 days before Donald Trump took office, a meeting occurred at the White House. It included President Obama, Sally Yates, Jim Comey, Joe Biden. Let me underscore that. Joe Biden. Then CIA Director John Brennan, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper. And Obama asked Yates and Comey to stay behind. And he told them, quote, "I learned information about Flynn and his discussion with Kislyak." He said he didn't have any additional information on the matter, but wanted to know whether the White House should be treating Flynn any differently given the information. Yates recalled Comey mentioning the Logan Act, which, again, folks, is a law that is likely unconstitutional. It's not used, and it was written in 1799 before modern technology to communicate. But again, Comey did not talk about prosecution in the meeting, is what we're told. Now, at that point, remember, the notes were coming out. Sure, are we trying to get him prosecuted, or do we just want to get him fired, or do we want him to actually tell the truth? And, you know, that's just kind of sick from the FBI. And now we've learned that the whole thing was bogus. There wasn't even a basis for the investigation per Attorney General Barr. It was all made up, just like the whole Russia collusion theory was made up by a phony dossier, even though the CIA told, you know, that Carter Page told the FBI, hey, Carter Page is a U.S. intelligence asset, so this dossier is wrong. Oh, they ignored that. Even though you've got people like James Clapper now on the record under oath saying, I have no evidence that there was any Trump-Russia collusion or conspiracy. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson on this because, Harry, you know, it's unusual, to say the least, to have the president of the United States at the time, President Obama, actually telling his deputies, and they're all his deputies at that point, whether it's a deputy attorney general or his others in the White House, because he was briefed by the CIA on this, about an investigation of an incoming member of a new administration.
You are absolutely correct. Very, very unusual, unless President Obama had engaged in a premeditated attempt to impair and hinder the incoming administration. And I think the facts on the ground will support the inference that President Obama essentially ordered James Comey to continue the investigation, essentially ordered Sally Yates to allow the investigation of the Trump administration to continue after President Obama left office. And so if you look at the conduct of Andrew McCabe, you look at the conduct of Peter Strzok, you look at the conduct of James Comey, who engaged in a deliberate effort to trigger the appointment of a special counsel. All of this is consistent with an agreement or a conspiracy beforehand to impair the Trump administration.
I think we've got Andy Economou now, former U.S. attorney, hails from the same state as, you know, been practicing in Georgia with Sally Yates, and though he was born in Miami, Florida, point out, a beautiful place. Andy, I want to go to you on this, because to me, as Harry was talking about as well, what is most shocking is that you've got President Obama briefing his underlings. Now, they're high up, but they are his underlings. I mean, you're President of the United States, everyone's your underling. And they're briefing his underling. He's briefing his underlings about how they're going to go and target Mike Flynn in the coming days, even after they're gone as an administration, because Jim Comey will still be there and Andy McCabe will still be there.
That's right. Harry Hutchison is absolutely correct in his analysis, as he usually is. Obama did not like Flynn. He was, quote, not a fan of his. He knew that Flynn, if he got into the administration, would uncover the fact that the Russia collusion theory with Trump was a hoax, was a witch hunt, and was a bunch of garbage. And so he gave instructions to Comey, and don't tell me he didn't give instructions to Sally Yates. And don't tell me Sally Yates was dumbfounded and flabbergasted, because that's nonsense. She's never caught flat-footed. She's a very bright, intelligent, smart woman who picks up very quickly on what's got to be and follows her instructions exactly as they are given from her superiors. And they left that room knowing that they had to target Flynn, knowing that they had to get him, no matter what was at stake, no matter the fact that the President of the United States, Obama, was no longer in office. They had gotten instructions from the monarch, from the king, Obama, and they were going to continue to follow through with those instructions to do away with Flynn, either to get him fired or to prosecute him for some nonsensical act that was enacted when I think King George III was King of England.
Yeah, 1799 Logan Act. It's likely unconstitutional. It's basically would bar any U.S. American who's not a U.S. government a member of the United States government from talking to foreign governments at all ever, because it might imply that they're speaking on behalf of the U.S. government. Now, we're a little bit bigger country now. We have all these global businesses. I don't think, you know, it doesn't make sense anymore. So likely unconstitutional on a whole host of issues, including the First Amendment and ability for freedom of speech. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110, what do you think the ramifications are that this goes all the way to the top? There's no doubt now, no questioning now, that President Obama was in on this, made his orders clear on it, endorsed the idea. I mean, Than, I want to hear from people, because 1-800-684-3110, as you said, McCabe gets tasked with it, and Obama was following through on it.
Yeah, I wholly agree with Andy on this. You can't give Sally Yates a pass because maybe she just was not quick enough during that particular meeting. Because look, James Comey and Andy McCabe, Jordan, they were always doing this together, and they did go to brief Sally Yates. Andy McCabe went over to do it, and he briefed the head of the National Security Division, Mary McCord. It was Mary McCord's job to make sure that Sally Yates was prepared for that meeting. She didn't do her job. But Jordan, we know from subsequent actions that Sally Yates quickly caught on, and then she tried to influence it. And by the way, Mary McCord left to go work for Adam Schiff and carried it on after. Jordan, there's some other narratives, too, after the Obama administration that we can pull the thread on in a little bit here. But look, it's clear to me, James Comey, Andy McCabe, and President Obama, they were the ringleaders here. Everybody else was falling in line. Andy's absolutely correct.
Let's take this call. This is an interesting call. Andrea in Texas on line three. I understand her frustration. I understand to her question. Andrea, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jordan. Yeah, I just, as an American, just want to see, is justice really going to take place for the people all the way up to the top with Obama?
Yeah.
I mean, are we ever going to see justice and accountability for the actions they took? Because I hear a lot about it,
but
I don't ever see anything happen. I know it takes time, but as an American, it's like, oh, I just want to see justice done.
President Obama, I think he was fairly careful in how he was saying it. He wasn't necessarily saying do something illegal, even though it was very politically motivated targeting. He was saying, hey, should we inform the incoming White House? How should we respond? You guys do your job. And he was careful about what information he knew and didn't know. But I do think I'll go to Harry Hutchinson on this. Harry, we've got a U.S. attorney tasked with just this. And Attorney General Barr said he's kind of even adding to what he wants them to be looking at. Last week he said that. But with U.S. Attorney Durham, these main actors, not just the president, because I think that's like a hugely long shot that the actual written evidence will come and that these people will actually turn on the president. But the main actors, Harry, we got a minute left in this segment, but the main actors, they're the ones who could be facing justice here. And I think it's been a long road and it's been a lot of twists and turns, but we're getting so much more information now than we've ever had.
I think you're absolutely correct. And I would suggest that Comey and McCabe and other actors, that they hire an attorney, number one, and then number two, they should stop talking because they are providing, at least in my view, more and more incriminating evidence suggesting that this whole Russia inquiry and going after General Flynn was fabricated from the beginning.
All right, folks, we come back. We're taking your phone calls. That's what we do in the final segment of the show. 1-800-684-3110. And we're also not going to close down the phones today in this segment. We're going to try to take some extra calls after the show for tomorrow's show because my dad will be arguing before the Supreme Court. So keep calling. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. Let me tell you right now, again, another reminder. My dad will be, that's why he's not on the broadcast today, will be before the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow. Usually we'd be in Washington, D.C. right now joining Than. We'd be crammed into the studio there, and he probably wouldn't be on because he'd be preparing for tomorrow's oral argument, but then we'd be walking into the Supreme Court in the morning, taking our seats. I'd be taking my seat either with the attorney's table or at the bar. And Than would be joining there too, and a lot of family, and my dad would be presenting before the U.S. Supreme Court representing President Trump. We live in a different world right now with COVID-19. The Supreme Court is doing these oral arguments by phone. But what's unique for you, and what may be bizarre for us, but unique for you, is that because they are done by phone, and I think this is cool for everybody, including all of us, you can actually listen live. They're actually putting these out live. So you're going to get to hear a case, and there's two of them. There's actually three. Two were combined into one. That's a House case trying to get the president's tax returns for no legitimate purpose. And then the second case, my dad is arguing, which is a local DA trying to get the president's tax returns. Again, a state official, state law enforcement official trying to criminally investigate a president. You'll hear a lot about it tomorrow if you listen in. While they are in office, which is exactly what the Founding Fathers didn't want to happen, there are thousands of local district attorneys around the country, and nothing against any of them. Many do a fine job, but if you allow them to start investigating presidents of the United States, many are elected on a partisan basis. You could see where this could cause a lot of concern in impeding the work of the presidency, which is what the founders had in mind, is that this will impede the work of the presidency. So, again, my dad will be arguing. We'll be live streaming it. So the first case starts at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and they've been pretty good about starting on time. So that's 10 a.m. Eastern time. These cases usually are only an hour, so I could usually tell you, hey, my dad will be up right at 11. But because it's been done by phone and live, some have run as long as an hour and a half or an hour and, an hour and a quarter. So, I mean, like, what I would say is prepare for my dad between 11:15 and 11:30 is safe. Like if you're watching online, or if you're through our social media, we'll be sharing probably C-SPAN, or if you're watching C-SPAN at home as they cover it live, then you don't have to worry about commercials. I think some of the cable news will go in and out of that because it involves the president at the U.S. Supreme Court, but they may wait till the audio's done and then go to it. If you don't want to worry about commercials and things and you're going to watch it on TV at home, I think the best is to go to C-SPAN. And then immediately following the argument, so probably as late as 1 p.m., probably not too much earlier than that, Eastern time, my dad's going to join you on Facebook Live to break down the argument for you and maybe even take some of your questions about it. So, again, a unique experience for all of you who have followed his career, for some of you for many decades. Going back to his first Supreme Court case when he was younger than I am, to now representing the President of the United States before the U.S. Supreme Court in what the media is calling. I mean, it's controversial. It involves presidential power. And I think even though it's not an ACLJ case, I always say this. The fact that our chief counsel at the ACLJ, chosen by the president to present the president's case before the highest court in the land, says a lot about the legal, professional legal abilities of those of us at the ACLJ and our chief counsel specifically in his work before the Supreme Court, happens to be my dad as well. But then I think it's just a cool moment for everybody who has followed the ACLJ for a long time. And even newcomers who maybe came because of my presence, who have come to the learn about the organization because of my dad's and ours outside the ACLJ representation of the president, have come to know more about the ACLJ, it's a really cool opportunity because they get to hear it live, live audio, which is just unheard of. It's never happened before.
Yeah, no question about it, Jordan. I really do think it's a can't-miss opportunity. Look, I think the Supreme Court arguments being streamed live is can't-miss for all Americans, honestly. But for those who have a relationship through this program with your dad and through the ACLJ and know about the other work that we do, the opportunity to get sort of that real-time glimpse into really how your dad built his career and the place where some of the most formative moments were, Jordan, I think it's absolutely can't-miss. I think everybody should be tuned in. And quite frankly, I think they should take a look at the rest of the schedule as well and learn more about how the court proceeds while we're in this unique time.
You know, Obama's chief of staff, Dennis McDonough, sent an email to Samantha Power and Susan Rice right after the election saying that President Obama was going away for a while and she should too. It's pretty significant, especially given Rice and Power's unmasking role, Than, and this idea that they weren't going away for a while. In fact, they were figuring out exactly how to stay and keep their minions working even when they were going to be leaving the White House. They weren't ready to say goodbye, even though Susan Rice was the one our caller referenced, writing that we did everything by the book here at the White House, and everything finished out by the book at the White House. That in fact, they were continuing to make sure that their directions were clear to those officials who had become their friends, those bureaucrats who had become their friends at the FBI and DOJ, about what to keep doing to undermine the incoming administration that they hated so much.
Yeah, Jordan, I actually think this is really significant. We've told our audience time and time again that part of our FOIA practice, we would get a lot of pieces to the puzzle that may not make sense until later, but you always had to be prepared to sort of match them up against current news. And our FOIA team was reminding me about this email just a few minutes ago. President Obama's chief of staff, Dennis McDonough, after the election, sending a message to Samantha Power and Susan Rice saying that the president is going to, quote, go away for a while, and they should too. Jordan, when you lay that against the news that we're talking about right now, that President Obama was really at the spearhead of this scheme, and then Samantha Powers and Susan Rice were two of the individuals that were frequently unmasking individuals inside the administration, inside the government, American citizens. Jordan, it tells you a lot that they're going to, quote, go away for a while, and that instruction is really being given to Samantha Power and Susan Rice as well. We don't know all of the strings that this leads to right now, but I think that's another telltale sign when laid against the news from today, Jordan, that President Obama was at the very top of this and he was giving orders down through the ranks. I think those two officials probably saw it as their cue that this would be in the background for a while. But guess what? President Obama seems to be out front on this again. I mean, I know that was a leak from that call. Jordan, leaks from calls in D.C., those are very rarely accidental.
Yeah, I think it was an intentional leak. Absolutely. President Obama wanted the troops to know what to do, how to start writing those op-eds, what to start saying, kind of mimic what Adam Schiff said, that this has set justice back and changing the justice process. That sickens me. When you see somebody who is wrongly charged, and the wrong is starting to be righted, and they're so upset about it because of political purposes, because they don't like the politics or the policies of that person. That's un-American to me. That's not setting justice back, by the way. It's moving justice forward. And as Attorney General Barr said, yeah, history will judge this, and I think history will judge it. They'll meet the press, cut that part, this part out, as the right decision. The right decision on Michael Flynn. Because he got justice. And that's what we're seeking in our court system. Sometimes justice means you go to jail, you get prosecuted, you're guilty. Sometimes justice means the government was wrong from the beginning. Remember, we're going to keep recording for tomorrow's show, so keep calling. Don't drop. Keep calling 1-800-684-3110. We're going to continue taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Watch my dad tomorrow with the Supreme Court. Those oral arguments that will be streamed live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.